Welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam important topics on the whole specification, regenerating places. Whether you're revising for AQA, EdExcel or OCR, this episode is packed with everything you need to walk into that exam room feeling confident. So grab a pen, get comfortable and let's get started. So, what actually is regeneration? At its heart, regeneration means improving a place that has declined. And when we say declined, we mean economically, socially, or environmentally. Think of old industrial towns where the factories closed, leaving behind unemployment, derelict buildings, and communities that felt forgotten. Regeneration is the attempt to turn that around, to breathe new life into a place. Now, the really important thing the examiners want you to understand is this. Success in regeneration is not straightforward. It is contested. That word contested is absolutely key. Different people, different stakeholders, will judge whether a regeneration project has worked based on completely different criteria. And that's what makes this topic so rich and so rewarding in the exam. Let's talk about the four main ways we measure regeneration success. I want you to think of these as four lenses, four different ways of looking at the same place. The first lens is economic. We ask, has the economy improved? This means looking at employment rates, have more jobs been created, have incomes risen, has poverty reduced, has new business investment come into the area? A classic example here is Salford Quays in Greater Manchester. In the 1980s, this was a derelict Docklands area. Today, it's home to Media City UK, the BBC, ITV, and thousands of jobs. By economic measures, that looks like a huge success. Employment in the area rose significantly, and the average income of residents increased. Those are the kinds of specific statistics examiners love to see. The second lens is social. Here we ask, have people's lives actually improved? We look at things like health outcomes, life expectancy, crime rates, and the index of multiple deprivation. The IMD. The IMD is a really useful tool because it combines multiple indicators of deprivation into a single score, ranking areas from most to least deprived. If an area's IMD rank improves after regeneration, that's strong evidence of social success. But, and this is important, social measures can also reveal that regeneration hasn't worked for everyone. Long-term residents might find that housing has become unaffordable, that community facilities have been replaced by luxury apartments, or that the character of their neighbourhood has changed beyond recognition. That's a social failure, even if the economic statistics look good. The third lens is environmental. Has the physical environment improved? We look at pollution levels, the amount of derelict land that has been reclaimed, the creation of green spaces, and improvements to air and water quality. Environmental improvements often go hand in hand with economic regeneration. Cleaning up a polluted brownfield site makes it attractive for new development. The London Docklands Development Corporation reclaimed thousands of hectares of derelict land from the 1980s onwards. That's a measurable environmental success. The fourth lens is demographic. This means looking at population change. Has the population grown? Has the age structure changed? Has the area attracted younger, more economically active residents? Demographic change can be a sign of success. People choosing to move to an area suggests it's becoming more attractive. But if new, wealthier residents move in and long-term, lower-income residents are priced out, that process is called gentrification, and it might look like demographic success on paper while causing real hardship for the original community. Now let's talk about stakeholders, because this is where the exam questions really come alive. Different stakeholders have completely different ideas about what success looks like. Local government tends to measure success through economic growth, new jobs, increased tax revenues, and improved national rankings on deprivation indices. They want headline statistics that show regeneration is working. Long-term residents, on the other hand, often care more about affordable housing, community facilities, local schools and health services, and whether the place still feels like home. They might feel that regeneration has happened to them, not for them. Businesses and investors want returns on their investment. They want footfall, customers, and a thriving local economy. They'll judge success by profit and growth. Environmental groups will focus on green space, biodiversity, pollution reduction, and sustainable development. They might oppose regeneration schemes that prioritize economic growth at the expense of the natural environment. And heritage groups care about preserving local identity, history, and culture. They might argue that regenerating a place by demolishing its historic buildings destroys the very character that made it worth saving in the first place. Here's a really important concept for your exam: the difference between the image of a place and the reality of lived experience. Regeneration projects are often very good at improving the image of a place: shiny new buildings, waterfront developments, media coverage. But the reality for people who actually live there can be very different. A regenerated waterfront might look spectacular in a promotional video, but if local residents can't afford to eat at the new restaurants or live in the new apartments, has it really succeeded? Examiners will give credit to candidates who recognise this tension between image and reality. Let me give you two specific case studies to anchor all of this. First, Salford Quays. This former industrial Docklands area in Greater Manchester was regenerated from the 1980s onwards. Key strategies included the development of Media City UK, the Lowry Arts Centre, the Imperial War Museum North, and extensive waterfront housing. Economic success is clear: thousands of jobs in media, arts, and hospitality. But critics point out that much of the housing is unaffordable for the original working class community, and that the regeneration has benefited incomers more than long-term residents. The IMD data shows improvement in some indicators, but persistent deprivation in surrounding areas. Second, for a rural example, consider the North Antrim coast in Northern Ireland. Here, regeneration has focused on tourism: the Giant's Causeway, the Causeway Coastal Route, and investment in visitor infrastructure. Economic success is measurable through increased visitor numbers and tourism revenue. But environmental groups have raised concerns about the impact of mass tourism on the natural landscape, and some local communities feel that the economic benefits have not been evenly distributed.
Now, let's talk exam technique. This is where you can really pick up marks. First, always use a range of measures. If a question asks you to evaluate the success of a regeneration scheme, don't just talk about economic measures. Use all four: economic, social, environmental, and demographic. Examiners will specifically credit candidates who demonstrate this breadth. Second, always consider who the winners and losers are. Every regeneration project creates both. Identifying these groups and explaining why they have different experiences will push your answer into the higher levels. Third, use both quantitative and qualitative evidence. Quantitative data – numbers, statistics, IMD rankings, employment figures – gives your answer precision. Qualitative data – lived experience, community testimonies, media representations – gives it depth. The best answers combine both. Fourth, link your evaluation back to the specific strategies used. Don't just say Salford Quays was successful. Say the development of Media City UK was successful in economic terms because it created over 7,000 jobs, but less successful in social terms because housing prices rose significantly, pricing out long-term residents. Fifth, remember that future success often depends on past decisions. A regeneration scheme built on short-term investment without community involvement may look successful initially, but fail to sustain itself. Now, for our quickfire recall quiz. Pause after each question, think of your answer, then press play to hear the response. Question 1. Name the four types of measures used to evaluate regeneration success. The answer is economic, social, environmental, and demographic. Question 2. What does IMD stand for, and what does it measure? IMD stands for Index of Multiple Deprivation. It measures multiple indicators of deprivation, including income, employment, health, education, and housing, to rank areas from most to least deprived. Question 3. What is gentrification, and why is it contested? Gentrification is the process by which a lower-income area attracts wealthier residents and businesses, leading to rising property prices and the displacement of original residents. It is contested because while it may improve economic indicators, it can cause social harm to long-term residents. Question 4. Name one urban and one rural regeneration case study and give one specific statistic for each. Urban, Salford Quays, Media City UK created over 7,000 jobs. Rural, North Antrim Coast, the Giant's Causeway attracts over 1 million visitors per year. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered the four measures of regeneration success: economic, social, environmental, and demographic. We've explored why success is contested and how different stakeholders judge success by different criteria. We've looked at the tension between the image of a place and the lived reality. And we've anchored all of this in two specific case studies, Salford Quays and the North Antrim Coast. The key message to take into your exam is this: regeneration is never simply a success or a failure. It is always a complex, contested process with winners and losers. The candidates who earn the highest marks are the ones who can articulate that complexity with specific evidence, consider multiple stakeholder perspectives, and reach a clear, justified conclusion. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.